This is Ozarks at Large for Friday, August 16th, 2013. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
And I'm Kyle Kellums. Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation. The 15th annual KUAF Summer Jazz Series concludes with the Amina Figueroa Quintet at Walton Arts Center's Star Theater tonight, beginning at 8. This jazz pianist and composer has appeared at the Newport Jazz Festival, Dizzy's Jazz Club at Lincoln Center, and the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival. Tickets and more information available online at KUAF.com or WaltonArtsCenter.org.
Ahead on this edition of Ozarks, we highlight Fayetteville School's Hall of Honor. We talk to an inductee and learn about the program's history. Plus, it's Friday, so that means music. We'll have a performance from Joseph Israel inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio.
Also, we make a phone call to the River Valley for our weekly conversation with Michael Tilley from the City Wire, and we'll announce the winner of our Fayetteville Roots Festival ticket giveaway.
Those stories and more, but first, Arkansas has made positive strides against human trafficking in the natural state during the past year. That's according to a recent report by the Polaris Project, a global organization that aims to eliminate the worldwide problem of human trafficking and modern-day slavery. In its 2013 state ratings on human trafficking laws, Arkansas was ranked with 31 other states in the top tier of states that have passed significant laws to combat human trafficking. Arkansas was also recognized as the most improved state in 2013, which State Representative Greg Letting of Fayetteville says is a notable distinction.
In their 2012 rankings, Arkansas stood among just four of the worst states in the country in terms of the laws they had on the books to fight human trafficking. And the year before that, in 2011, when I and other legislators first began working on anti-human trafficking legislation, we were among the worst nine. So we were among a very limited number of states that still didn't have the necessary tools to fight this crime. So the fact that we are now not just one of the best, but one of the four most improved, I think is really a credit to the people who came together with bipartisan legislation and advocacy groups that came together this session to get that legislation passed.
The improved ranking is a result of a trio of bills that Letting says were originally one bill, but were eventually passed individually for greater chances of some reforms being passed.
The 2013 bill establishes human trafficking as a crime in Arkansas and really gives some teeth to penalties for prosecutors to go after human traffickers. We had another that the Safe Harbor Act, Senator Cliff Elliott, I carried it in the House. Unfortunately, a lot of times when young women or young men are rescued from a trafficking situation and they have been engaging in prostitution by force, they are nonetheless charged with prostitution, and we didn't feel that was right. And so Polaris Project has made it a priority to get what they call Safe Harbor Acts passed all across the country.
The third bill aimed at human traffickers, which Representative Letting sponsored in the House, gives prosecutors more legal grounding to go after traffickers with stiffer penalties for those found guilty of the crime.
For the 17th consecutive year, the Arkansas Game and Fish Commission is approving a 60-day duck season. Jonathan Reeves from our content partner KASU has more.
Waterfowl Program Coordinator Luke Naylor told commissioners in Little Rock habitat conditions were improved or similar to last year in many areas. He says the good number of ducks that are expected to come to Arkansas justify a 60-day season. With more than 529,000 mallards harvested, Arkansas had the third highest waterfowl harvest and highest mallard harvest in the nation last year. The season takes place in three splits: November 23rd through December the 1st, December 5th through December 23rd, and December 26th through January 26th, with the youth duck hunt taking place February 1st and 2nd. The duck bag limits are 6 ducks, consisting of no more than 4 mallards, 2 hens, 3 wood ducks, 2 pintails, 1 black duck, 2 canvasbacks, 1 mottled duck, or 3 scalp. The commission also approved the early migratory bird season dates yesterday. In Jonesboro, I'm Jonathan Reeves reporting.
It has been 90 days since the 89th Arkansas General Assembly adjourned. As such, several new laws that were enacted without an emergency clause or a specific date go into effect today. Some of those laws include Act 1209, which allows for the sale of unpasteurized or raw milk in the state, Act 1110, which makes prosecuting attorney elections nonpartisan, Act 226, or the law that would allow licensed faculty and staff of state colleges to carry concealed firearms on campus that have opted to allow it, and Act 746, which some firearms advocates argue allows for open carry in Arkansas. We'll discuss a planned demonstration in Fort Smith by a group advocating for open carry with Michael Tilley of the CityWire in just a few minutes.
It's back to school time. Today is the first official move-in day at the University of Arkansas. Move-in will continue tomorrow, Monday and Wednesday. During move-in, all faculty and staff lots will be open except faculty staff reserve spaces in Lot 37. In addition, there will be no two-way traffic along the south and western edge of the parking lot next to Yoakum Hall, and traffic on McElroy Avenue between Kimple and Founders Halls will be open to traffic traveling both south between Dixon and Fairview Streets.
Though it's not as warm outside as it has been for much of the summer, one of the area's cooler indoor spots will soon close temporarily. The ice rink at the Jones Center in Springdale will be closed from August 26th through September 6th so that crews can give the rink a makeover, including new ice and new ice graphics. The rink reportedly hasn't been refurbished since 2009.
Flood damage continues to take its toll in Benton County. According to the Bella Vista Property Owners Association, the fourth annual Memory Maker Triathlon benefiting the Alzheimer's Association has been canceled because of flood damage. The triathlon was scheduled to begin at Lake Windsor's London Park, but the area was closed last week because of excessive flooding and debris at London Landing. Also in Bella Vista, the Property Owners Association has decided to postpone resurfacing the putting green at the Tanyard Creek Practice Center until 2014, the delay created so that all resources can be devoted to repairing flood damage elsewhere.
Centerton City officials will host a discussion tomorrow morning about the upcoming millage vote for the Bentonville School District. The Coffee with the Mayor session will begin at 9 o'clock at Centerton City Hall and be hosted by Mayor Bill Edwards and other elected officials.
The Northwest Arkansas Naturals did not get the series sweep against the Corpus Christi Hooks they were looking for. The Nats lost last night 6-5 in Springdale. The Nats will continue play tonight at Arvest Ballpark as they open up a four-game series against the San Antonio Missions.
Partly cloudy tonight with lows from 55 in northwest Arkansas to 62 in the Arkansas River Valley. Sunny tomorrow with highs from 82 in northwest Arkansas to 87 in the Arkansas River Valley. Mostly clear tomorrow night with lows from 56 degrees in northwest Arkansas to 65 degrees in the Arkansas River Valley.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellens. With me on the phone is Michael Tilley. He is the editor and publisher of the City Wire that covers business, politics, culture, and more for the entire region. Michael, August is supposed to be slow, but that is not the case for August 2013.
No, and August is supposed to be hot as well.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, so
we have,
I'm all for that.
We have a busy, cool mid-August working right now.
Man, I'll take more of these. Can I have like 20 more of these in the future, please?
You know better than to expect that.
Right.
Well, I'll tell you who's not having necessarily a very good August, or not the August they hoped, and that's Walmart.
Well, it is. I mean, it is a mixed bag. Their earnings came in. Their revenue of almost $117 billion was short of the consensus analyst estimate. That's easy for me to say. And what we're hearing, and it's somewhat troubling if you're concerned about the economy, because Walmart sales reflect about 20% of retail sales in the U.S., and they're telling us that the consumer is really pulling back, especially on some of the non-essential items. Now, there are some analysts who will say, well, what we're seeing is the consumer shifting from brick-and-mortar sales to online, more online, but even if that's the case, it's not enough, it's not enough to reflect what's really happening at Walmart. I think what's really happening is, like they said, the consumer's pulling back. Their same store sales in the U.S. are essentially flat, and Walmart has lowered its earnings guidance for the rest of their fiscal year, for the second half of their fiscal year. So it's just if you're hoping for news that the U.S. economy was getting better and was on a better track, this was not the report you wanted to see from Walmart.
They also said that some unusual weather hasn't helped.
Well, yeah, it's the weather. Now, I got to tell you, Kim Souza, who covers Walmart, when we hear this weather thing, we often discount it because sometimes that's an excuse. I mean, when their numbers are what their numbers are, I can't imagine it's that big of a that big of a hit. But back to the consumer, it's not only the Walmart consumer also. I mean, Dillard's, although their net income was up, their sales were down. I've seen sales down at Macy's. The last quarter that Target reported, their sales were down. American Eagle had some. So across the board, we're seeing some retailers say a lot of the same things, that the consumer is really pulling back. And I think more than weather, what we're seeing is a continuance, you know, of a lot of the jobs, a lot of the new jobs that are coming on are either, people are either underemployed in terms of wages, or it's part-time. And we're also seeing still the effects of, you know, the Social Security tax, the 2% that was taken out, or I guess returned to normal, however you want to look at that, is still having a negative impact on disposable income.
Northwest Arkansas home sales continue to be an encouraging sign, according to real estate agents in the region.
Right. There, you know, the market is still going. If there's any concern, you want to make sure it doesn't overheat again like it did back in 2007, 2008. But both Benton and Washington County seeing double-digit increases. The value is remaining the same. Even though as we're having some more foreclosures pushed into the market, foreclosed properties, we're not seeing a negative, any negative dampening effect on prices. So that housing sector is really returning. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out, how that trend continues. I'm especially interested in watching how it plays out for the rest of the year. If it continues on this double-digit growth, if it moderates a little bit, but, you know, we may have some interest rate rising that may, you know, push some of that down just a little bit. But, and some of what we're seeing may be people trying to get into property before this anticipated interest rate increase.
A couple of interesting stories that are on the City Wire right now that I want to ask you about. One is a second lawsuit has been filed that challenges a state liquor law. This could be very interesting to watch.
This is an amazing angle. I wish I would have been smart enough to lay claim that I thought of this. But, you know, they're essentially saying that you can't, if you own a share of Walmart and you're a liquor store owner, you can't, because you have fractional ownership in Walmart. And I should back up. The Arkansas law says liquor law. And the Arkansas liquor laws, it's like a Rube Goldberg contraption with no purpose. I mean, it's just a patchwork of laws written by Baptists and bootleggers, as the saying goes. But this law says if you have fractional, you know, there's only one permit for a company. If you have fractional ownership in another company that has a liquor store, you can't also have a liquor store. It's just archaic. So this law is challenged, state law, and you know, this, it'll be interesting. It'll maybe up to a judge's interpretation, but this is a very unique angle taken to challenge the state's liquor law.
And what makes it so interesting is you have certain entities that have been grandfathered in who then have more than one liquor interest.
Right. I mean, Mr. Phillips in Springdale, for example.
Exactly.
So, you know, and that grandfather, that's a long way to stretch to give somebody such a competitive advantage like that. Excuse me. So I think there are some people that really want to see that clause be taken out, or other people allowed to play.
And the other interesting story is the organization Open Carry is planning next weekend to have a demonstration or a protest or a sign of unity in Fort Smith. Arkansas Carry, of course, promoters of open carry of firearms.
Right, at City Wire, we've taken a little bit of heat because of the language we said, you know, they're protesting Attorney General Dustin McDaniel's interpretation that Act 746 does not allow open carry. And I'm not going to debate the merits because I'm not smart enough to know either way. But the Arkansas Carry says that, you know, the law does allow for open carry. And we might keep in mind Oklahoma allows, has an open carry law. They have some provisions, but they do have an open carry law. So, yeah, they're going to walk here in an area of Fort Smith, Chaffee Crossing. You know, the Fort Smith Police Department, Sebastian County, I don't think they're going to do anything. It's just a short protest walk. But Arkansas Carry calls it a celebration of the Arkansas open carry law. They think it's a celebration, not a protest. But I see it more of a protest. But it is interesting. It's going to be a challenge. It may lay down the Steve Jones with Arkansas Carry says it may kind of provide impetus for other similar marches around the state. So it could force the issue by the end.
What's interesting about this event is that it will have to begin with weapons concealed, and then there will be some line where they can then unconceal them.
Right. They're beginning. Their initial plan is they're going to all park and meet at Ben Guerin Park, which Ben Guerin Park allows concealed weapon to walk on the park with concealed weapon, but not open carry. So, and that's, you know, cities and municipalities and counties, they can, that's just like a business that's there. Their obvious right to make those rules. So, yeah, they're going to have to walk out of Ben Guerin and then unconceal the weapons. So that'll be interesting to see how they do this. And they say they want it just to kind of be a quiet march. They're not
right,
not a parade or anything. But so we'll see why we'll probably be there to see how quiet it really is.
Finally, Tusk to Tail is coming back to thecitywire.com. Last year you launched this. It was sort of a game-by-game football blog. And it was launched last year, and we had one of the most disappointing football seasons in recent memory. But the guys are coming back.
Well, don't blame them. Okay. It wasn't their fault. They call it the season from L. So anybody that knows the coach's name from last year will understand why it was called the season from L. But, yeah, several guys, 7 to 9 guys. It kind of varies from game to game. But these guys are true tailgaters. I mean, they've been there. Craig May, who's the godfather, he's been to 174 of the last 175 Razorback games, home and away. So I would say he knows how to tailgate. We'll be following their adventures for the next few weeks.
All right. That'll be at thecitywire.com. Michael Tilley is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com. Thank you, Michael.
All right. You're welcome.
There are walks of fame for members of the music and film industries. Halls of Fame for baseball, football, and basketball, both on the state and national levels, as well as Halls of Fame for those who have made contributions to the art world. And as Ozarks at Large's Christina Thomas found out, there is also a local Hall of Honor for members of the community that have made a difference in education.
Those are our honorees for 2013.
That's Alan Wilburn, Director of Communications for Fayetteville Public Schools. As he announced the 4 newest additions to the Fayetteville Schools Hall of Honor yesterday at 324 Ballroom on Dixon Street in Fayetteville. The announcement event was hosted by Jose's, whose co-owner, Joe Fennell, was inducted into the Hall of Honor in 2003. Past honorees Margaret Willock and Jeff Koenig were also present. The Hall of Honor is presented by the Fayetteville Public Education Foundation. Here's the foundation's executive director, Cambry Horn Brooks.
We are a foundation that provides funding to the Fayetteville Public School System. We receive donations from individuals and sponsors. Our main goal is really to provide opportunities for students in the Fayetteville School District to achieve their highest level and for educators to be able to create innovative programs as well as caring citizens to be able to be engaged in the education of our children.
Thanks to those sponsors and private donors, the foundation distributed $175,000 to Fayetteville School District for the 2013-14 school year, through grants and scholarships directly to students. The Education Foundation began the Hall of Honor in 1997 due to a need within the district to recognize the role models that exist for today's students. Some are alums, but not all. As Cambry explains, there are 3 areas that they honor.
Past educators of the Fayetteville Public School System, alumni or graduates, as well as friends of the Fayetteville Public School System. And those honorees reflect the service and the commitment that they have committed to the community. So it is really looking at those who have graduated who are friends or educators and the things that they have done to improve the education system in Fayetteville.
Since it began 17 years ago, the Hall of Honor has honored 57 individuals. It's an open nomination process. Nominations are kept on file indefinitely. Just because they didn't win the year they were nominated, they will continue to be considered for years to come. A private committee selects 3 of the nominees each year. Though this year is unique, there are 4 honorees in 2013.
This year is unique in that we had a couple who really rose to the top in the way of their contributions to the Fayetteville public education system, and that was Denise and Hershey Garner.
Though neither Denise nor Hershey went to or graduated from Fayetteville Public Schools, their children did. And since moving to Fayetteville in 1990, they have been very active in the community and have received many awards, including the Dorothy Lindquist Volunteer of the Year Award from the Fayetteville Public Schools. Here's Cambry with another unique factor.
And then we also had the unique situation this year of honoring the late Rudy Moore, who was one of the largest, over a period of time, contributors to the education system. He passed earlier this year, and so he was also unique to this class of inductees, and so his wife and his family are going to be accepting his on his behalf.
Though the late Fayetteville District Judge Rudy Moore graduated from Springdale High School, he served in the role of Fayetteville School District Attorney for 23 years and also served two terms on the school board. He joins his son, Tony-nominated director and director of television and films, Jason Moore, a 1989 Fayetteville High graduate. Jason was inducted in 2005. The fourth honoree, Hugh Kincaid, graduated from Fayetteville High in 1952. Since then, he says he's seen the district go through many changes.
I've always felt that we were the Lighthouse District, and I felt I had a great education even back then. It's changed. I graduated from the old high school and helped build what's now the old high school. The summer I graduated from high school before I started college, I worked with that construction crew. So a lot's changed, and it's changing again. So that's, but I think in terms of the quality of education, it's just improved dramatically over the years, and it's still just the best anywhere.
After high school, Hugh went on to the University of Arkansas, eventually graduating from the School of Law in 1959. Serving as both a private and city attorney in the 1960s, and finally as director of planned giving for the University of Arkansas. He has served on many community boards and represented a variety of organizations, including 12 years on the Fayetteville School Board. A native Fayettevillian, his children graduated from the district and his grandchildren plan to. All are students in Fayetteville Public Schools. Hugh says it is quite an honor to be included this year.
I kept thinking they would change their mind before the announcement, but no, it's a great honor, and I'm privileged to be a part of that group. That's a distinguished group that I'm being honored with.
Hugh says that the other honorees this year have given a lot to the community, and that he and Rudy Moore go back a very long way, even serving on the Fayetteville School Board together. The Hall of Honor induction ceremonies will be held Thursday, October 17th at the Fayetteville Town Center, with a reception beginning at 5:30. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Christina Thomas.
This is Ozarks at Large for Friday, August 16th, 2013. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
With us, Becca Martin-Brown, features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Isn't it gorgeous?
Historically gorgeous, right?
Amazingly gorgeous.
Yeah.
I have a sweater on gorgeous. In tribute to the absolutely gorgeous and weirdly unusual weather, we're going to focus our attention on things to do outdoors.
Because you don't get an August weekend like this.
Ever. Ever. Not in my lifetime, and we're not going to discuss how long that's been, so just go away. Okay, tonight, an event called Let's Go Batty.
Okay.
It's a hike to view the bats around Lake Fort Smith. 8 o'clock, meet at the Visitor Center, and it's free. Or you can go to the Great Passion Play this weekend. If you've never been, really, how long have you been in Northwest Arkansas?
I'm one of those people you're yelling at.
Well, so here's the deal.
Yeah.
8:30 today and tomorrow, with discounts for residents of Benton and Washington counties this weekend.
How do you prove you're from Benton or Washington County?
You have a driver's license.
Okay.
That's where you live.
Right.
This happens in Eureka Springs, in case you've somehow been confused all this time. And the phone number is 800-882-7529. On Saturday, you can start your day really early. Really early.
I don't know how I like the sound of that.
Really early. At 6 a.m.
Oh. She said you can't. She didn't say you had to.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
At the Sky Space Sunrise Experience at
Crystal
Bridges.
See, okay, I did hear about this, and I was toying with the idea of going, but of course that would involve me staying up overnight, because getting up that early just isn't going to happen.
I don't think I've ever seen you that early in the morning.
No.
Can't be good.
Most of the world has not seen me that early in the morning, unless I'm still up from the night before.
And I don't do that anymore. So moving right along,
yes.
It's Secchi Day. 9 o'clock to 1 o'clock Saturday at Prairie Creek Recreation Area east of Rogers. That's free.
And certainly the coolest Secchi Day they've ever had.
Oh, good heavens, I'd think so. There's a garden tour at 10 o'clock Saturday at Prairie Grove Battlefield State Park.
Mm-hmm.
That is also free. You can meet at the kitchen by the Heritage Garden.
All right.
The yoga sculpture series happens at Crystal Bridges.
Yes.
I'm not really sure I understand what they do. I guess they do yoga around a sculpture.
Mm-hmm.
And this sculpture is Lowell's Ocean.
Right.
And that happens on the North Lawn at 11:45 on Saturday. It's $15. And again, you can find out more at
crystalbridges.org.
Right. There is a crepuscular cruise.
I don't know what
that means. At 7:30 Saturday. I think it means frog, because they're going to explore Frog Bayou.
Oh.
I've not heard that word.
And discover animals that emerge at night along the shoreline at Lake Fort Smith.
Okay.
Well, this is, you're making a Saturday that could go all day long.
I got one more later.
Well, Saturday's a whole day.
It is, but I mean, you could learn the whole day.
Oh, okay.
That happens at 7:30 Saturday. I can't imagine you'd ever have a more beautiful August night for cruising.
No.
When you'd need a sweater.
Yeah. Mm.
It is $5 to $9, and reservations are suggested at 369-1018. Or you can wrap up your evening at the Arkansas Music Pavilion, where ordinarily I wouldn't go for anything in August, to see Easton Corbin.
All right.
That's country music, which means I know nothing, except that he had country hits, A Little More Country Than That, and Roll With It that were number ones, and tickets start at $27. We're not done yet. We've got Sunday.
Yeah.
You can meet a tree.
Okay.
At 11 a.m. at the Visitor Center Trailhead at Hobbs State Park near Rogers. Go to Walker Landing Arts at Crystal Bridges from 1 to 3, music and art outdoors. Go back to Prairie Grove Battlefield State Park and see some Civil War collections. They're actually inside Heineman Hall Visitor Center with Ann Webb and Steve Burgess, but you could go walk around. And there is a summer breeze boat tour that starts at 2 o'clock at Lake Fort Smith. And again, that's $5 to $9. $5 for children 6 to 12. And you can call for reservations.
Sounds like a pretty good weekend to just kind of hang out at Lake Fort Smith.
Oh, and then there's more. There are county fairs going on this weekend in Bentonville, Huntsville, Jasper, and Greenwood. And you can check out those schedules in today's What's Up.
Thank you, Becca.
Becca Martin Brown is features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
We said he would have to go back to school or work, and he didn't either. So 2 weeks later, David met him at the door with his bags packed and took his key.
I finally understood that if you think it's not where you're from, it's where you're at, then as we say down here in the South, bless your heart.
I ran to the window and quickly saw the biggest hook and ladder truck I have ever seen. They slowly extended the ladder up to the third floor window that I was working in.
Tales from the South, Saturday afternoon at 3:30 on KUAF.
Support for Ozarks at Large comes in part from the University of Arkansas Women's Giving Circle. The Eureka Springs Original Ozark Folk Festival will present a live recording of Michael Jonathan's Wood Songs Old Time Radio Hour Saturday, October 26th in the City Auditorium. This recording will be aired on public radio and television as well as the Armed Forces Radio Network. Limited tickets are now available online at theaud.org.
Born in Oklahoma as Joseph Montgomery Fennell, Joseph Israel went on to make quite the name for himself playing and writing reggae music. He has performed with the likes of Michael Franti, Ziggy Marley, and Modest Yahoo, and this weekend he'll perform twice in Arkansas in conjunction with the release of his new album, Kingdom Road. Earlier this week, Ozarks at Large's Christina Thomas and myself were joined by Israel and members of his band inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio. To begin our conversation, Christina asked Israel how, after growing up in Northwest Arkansas, a place without a lot of reggae music, he became attracted to the genre.
It just started from hearing it, this type of music, reggae music. But my dad had a really nice reggae collection, old albums. And even when I was a little child, my favorite album was this Bob Marley album, Babylon by Bus. And I'd have him play the first song over and over. Positive vibrations. It just kind of started gravitating towards that music. But it really started when I was like 12. I got my own little reggae tapes collection and started listening to it and hearing the message. And it began the message of the music that it spoke about social issues. It spoke about the Almighty and truth and rights. For people and the underprivileged, the downtrodden of the earth, the oppressed, and the cry of the people. And that was where my heart was already at, you know, looking at history and seeing the problems of, even in this country, you know, from slavery and all the things of the the lack of justice and things that have happened throughout time. And this music kind of addressed all those things. And I've always kind of been, I thought serious about stuff. And so I felt like this music is a place where you can express these type of thoughts. And so I started playing music to be able to express that, and reggae became the natural venue for that.
Well, where did you make the switch from enjoying listening to your dad's records to wanting to play this type of music?
You know, it just kind of happened. I don't know. This song started coming from inside of me. So I think, one year I was like 14 or 15 and I got a little guitar. And then when I was 16, I got an acoustic guitar. And that's where it really started. I felt the acoustic more for my own songwriting and stuff. But I learned, of course, any song I wanted, Bob Marley and all that stuff, learned all of his songs and enjoyed it. Yeah.
When did you start writing? You said that you learned all of Bob Marley songs, but yeah. You write your own music now.
Yeah, I mean, it right from the start. Okay. I just started writing. That's why I started playing music. I'd write stuff and feel stuff. And
you have a new album, Kingdom Road.
Yeah.
And it's coming out, has come out?
It's available through my website, the physical CD, and it releases digitally. The 27th of this month.
All right, iTunes. It came out on your website earlier this week, Tuesday, I believe.
Yes.
Okay. And this is your second album. So how was the process of making this album different from the first album?
Okay, well, that's a good question. I mean, the first album, I had my acoustic guitar. I had this door open for me in Jamaica. And I went down there with my songs. And the producer I was working with, Chris Meredith, who became my bass player for a while, really good friend, and he's one of the most accomplished and most talented bass players on the planet to me. But he opened up the door to Tuff Gong Studios and got all these amazing session players that all became my friends. And anyways, I'd go down there and I'd play a song, and then they would put all these amazing parts to it. But for me, it was overwhelming, like, whoa, you can get all this can happen so fast. So I kind of didn't have the ideas of the shapes of the songs that I wanted them, how exactly I was kind of open. When I was writing these new songs, I had more of an idea of the production and how to approach each song differently. So I feel like some of these songs on this album are more acoustic. Some of them have less guitar. Some of them have less keyboards. Actually there's no keyboards, except I think there's a couple little spots where there's keyboards, but mostly it wasn't too much overdubs. I did all grand piano, and B3 organ, and just was really selective of what I put on the songs. And so that's really how it's different. Each one kind of built for itself. And the first album I did, like a standard, this guy played guitar on every song, this guy played bass on every song, just kind of went with one approach to every song. So this one is way different.
There's also a track on the album, Kingdom Road.
Yeah.
What is the Kingdom Road?
Okay, well, it's the Kingdom Road is a road you can't see, and so it starts from within an individual, their heart condition, and them wanting to do what is right and to seek the truth, because there's a phrase in the scriptures that says the truth will set you free, and so the Kingdom Road is that road to true freedom, and is not associated with any religion or anything like that, but just truth. Because truth stands outside of anyone's boundaries. Truth stands alone. It might not always be what you want to hear, but the truth, it might be offensive to some people, but it's not a sin. It's not wrong. So we have to deal with the truth. So the Kingdom Road, the idea of a government, we have governments, but the idea, the main theme that I find from reading the Bible is of the coming of God's kingdom, which I use the name Yah or Yahweh for God, because that's the Hebrew name. The idea of a government isn't bad, but the governments of man, because man's selfish interests get involved, and wherever the love of money is the root of evil and all that kind of stuff, we have governments that actually cause harm. But the kingdom of the Almighty is the only government that I want to live in. And it's the one that's going to bring blessings to all people. So the idea of the song is, when the Almighty leads and we follow, we must follow. This is reality, but it takes an individual to seek those things.
There's 14 tracks on this album, and the album itself talks a lot about your own spiritual journey. Do you find it difficult to put something as complex as spirituality into song? Because, I mean, the songs are not, you don't have an hour for one song, yeah. You know, to explain how you feel or your thoughts on something as complex as your own spirituality.
True. I think it's the easiest way because, you know, the most important thing is vibrations. And when in a song, besides, you know, if you're preaching, the person could be bored of listening or whatever to what you have to say. But when you're singing a song, their heart is open. So the main point of this album is to open the heart of the individual, and that my heart is open, that my mind and heart, I'm sharing from my heart to your heart. And then it would connect there before we intellectually dissect anything. And that the main thing that's connected is the feelings of goodness and love and care. Because the main issue is communication is very hard with people. But for me, I don't want to be on anyone's side except the right side, you know. And the side of the right side is for the humble of the earth, and it doesn't see national boundaries, racial boundaries, or anything like that. To communicate that in a world of crazy social media and all the stuff, you don't have very long. So the songs, if you can get someone to listen for 1 minute of the song, I think I can communicate there's something worth listening more to, and that there's something out there for you. Hopefully I could spark a little spark in the individual to live their life with meaning and, you know, keep seeking.
You now live in California, and you've played all over the world, really, with some pretty big names in reggae music. What is it like to come home to where you grew up, to Arkansas, to play here?
I love Fayetteville. I miss it all the time. I mean, this town has been so good to me, and is a great place to grow up. And, you know, I travel the whole world, but there's no place like Fayetteville, Arkansas. You know, this place is wonderful.
Do you find that your hometown welcomes you and
yeah.
your music? Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I mean, when I was first coming up in the music, it was a little hard, you know, because people were just, they didn't know how to take it. But once I actually started having more success in Jamaica and out in the United States, it became more accepted here, you know. It took a minute. But once the Gone Are the Days album came out and people started to get to hear what I was doing, and they kind of, you know, before I was kind of a diamond in the rough, or so to speak, you know, it was coming. But now we have the music, and there's a lot of people that really support it. And I think Fayetteville is very supportive in general of anything, you know, that's good in this town. I mean, like my sister's Restore Humanity has been very supportive from this area. And I just find that of all places that I've been, this is one of the most supportive communities. Very community-oriented. I love this place. So, yeah, I'm very thankful.
Well, it looks like a couple of members of your group have come in.
Yeah, yeah, we have some, my singer, Michael Walker, and then my drummer, Marlon Davis, will be joining us here.
And you guys are going to perform for us, yes?
Yeah, we'll do a song here.
Excellent.
Well, this is the title track of the new album called Kingdom Road. He will lead, we must follow. This is reality, yes, I know. Where he leads, bless him, follow. That's why we trodden on his kingdom road, kingdom road. Always in the sun. Kingdom road, the light of Zion, kingdom road, redemption time has come, kingdom road. Tell me, are you ready? Cross over Jordan. Tell me, are you ready to meet the promised land? Wisdom is crying, knowledge sings. There's a famine of the word in the land. Kingdom road,
the sun, Kingdom Road. The light of Zion, Kingdom Road. Redemption time has come, Kingdom Road. We must follow. This is reality. Yes, I know. Where he leads, bless him, follow. That's why we tried in on his kingdom road. Kingdom road. Always in the sun. Kingdom road. Light of Zion, Kingdom Road. I said redemption time has come, Kingdom Road. Kingdom Road. We always in the sun, Kingdom Road. Yahshua from Zion, Kingdom Road. Redemption time has come, come on, Kingdom Road. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, thank you. You really can't help but smile.
All right, good. Yeah, that was a blessing. Thank you.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, and if people want more information about how to get tickets or more information about your music?
Yeah, so you go to George's Majestic website and look for the Joseph Israel Show, and there's a, I think it's stubs.net or .org where you buy the tickets. So tickets are $10 in advance. And so go get them early if you want to save a couple of bucks, $12 at the door. And josephisrael.com is where you can find out, or Facebook, Joseph Israel and Jerusalem Band. You know, I look forward to share this music with my hometown in Fayetteville, Arkansas. So hope everybody can make it and come show the love. And we have the love to share with you all. So from my heart to your heart, you know, I look forward to see you.
Joseph Israel and the Jerusalem Band will play at 9 o'clock tomorrow evening at Sticky's Rock and Roll Chicken Shack in Little Rock. You can also catch them Sunday night at George's Majestic Lounge in Fayetteville. Doors will open at 7. The music starts at 8. More information available at josephisrael.com.
Comedy is a funny thing. The funniest movies or stand-up routines are usually the result of hours of work and dozens, if not hundreds or thousands, of rewrites. Improvisational comedy, on the other hand, works differently. The humor has to be created on the fly in front of an audience. And as Ozarks at Large's Emily Gallahan reports, improv comedy's popularity is at a high in Northwest Arkansas.
Improv comedy is a nationally popular form of entertainment, which has just recently started to grow in Northwest Arkansas. And in response to the growing interest, a few local groups are gathering together on Wednesday for an improv comedy night. Five groups will perform their own kind of improv comedy, two short form, two long form, and one which combines the two. Though these forms are different, they have the same basic concept. Completely unscripted comedy where the actors use audience suggestion and play off one another, making it up as they go along. Justin Cunningham, who helped put the event together, is the founder of the musical improv group called Sound Effects, which was created in November of last year.
We just started to get together in certain times in little random places and in parking lots, and started to workshop scenes using music and using song and dance and different types of instruments. And we had our first performance New Year's, actually, on the square, and it was with Artist Laboratory Theater. And we've been performing ever since New Year's.
Tyler Donovan, founder of the group Village of Idiots, was there for that New Year's performance. And he says that what he saw inspired him.
It was just amazing. I was blown away. So I was just so amazed by these guys. I said, that's what I want to do.
So he created a group of his own. Wednesday will actually be Village of Idiots' debut performance. But even though Tyler did it, not just anyone can start a successful improv group. There are certain skills that make or break improv performers. Donovan says, rather than try to be funny, these comedians have to be able to act like they really are in the ridiculous situations that their fellow actors put them in.
Well, if you know how to lie, you know how to do improv. All you do is lie. No, actually, improv is more about being honest. As an actor, you have to believe it. So it's not about lying. It's about telling the truth. It's about, you know, accepting the situations that are given to you and dealing with it.
Cunningham agrees and says there's another key factor to successful improv.
One of the main rules in improv is a rule called yes and. And that means that whatever a person gives you, you have to add on to that. You have to accept what they gave you, and you have to continue to build on top of that. So if someone says, it's hot in here, and then you say, yeah, you didn't help out that scene. You just kind of negated, you kind of stopped the scene. And when you yes and, it's like saying, it's hot in here, and the other person says, well, that's because we're inside a dog's mouth.
Sound Effects and Village of Idiots are just two of the groups performing on Wednesday. There's also Fun Bags and Naturally Improvable, the two short-form groups, and Believe, a long-form group made up of U of A students. So what's the difference between short-form and long-form improv? Justin Cunningham explains.
Short-form is more like game-based improv, where you kind of tell a short story to get a quicker laugh, to kind of use different types of games, using music or using audience participation to help establish a game. And long form, you actually tell a long story, like a play.
Improv comedy, both long and short, is a very unique form of entertainment. But even though it is different from other kinds of comedy, it's been hugely successful. Cunningham says its popularity doesn't surprise him.
I think that what people love about improv is the aspect of creation. The audience feels like they're creating it as well, because usually with any improv group, they'll ask for an audience suggestion, and people will just start yelling out things. They'll want to contribute, and so the group will take that. They'll take what they've given them and make something out of it. And at the same time, I think the audience knows that what they're seeing will never be seen again, and that's what's kind of special to them.
This will be the first time that all of the local improv groups in Northwest Arkansas gather together for a performance. The event will be Wednesday evening at 8 p.m. at Scarpino's on West Avenue. Admission is $6. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Emily Gallahan.
And this is a Friday edition of Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
It's not just any Friday. This is a Friday when Rhonda Dillard is going to make somebody's day. How are you, Rhonda?
I hope so. I'm well, thank you.
As is the custom on some Friday editions of Ozarks at Large, we're giving away tickets.
We are. Today we're giving away a pair of tickets to the Fayetteville Roots Festival.
Which is next week. Can you believe it?
No. I mean, it's less than a week away because it starts on Thursday night.
Right.
With the kickoff there at the Garner Farm.
Mm-hmm.
Usually two or three bands play.
Right. And there's dinner and people just kind of hang out in the yard and it's a good time.
And then Friday at noon we'll have the live edition of Ozarks at Large at the library. And then it's just nonstop.
And then just music. All over the place.
All the way through Sunday.
Right. There's music at places like George's and Kingfish.
I think Maxine's is having something outside of there.
The Farmer's Market and the library.
Library, all during the day.
Of course, the Walton Arts Center.
Is main the main stage. Place. Yes, main stage is at the Walton Arts Center. And then I know during the day they'll have different acts throughout the different theaters within the Walton Arts Center. Mm-hmm. So there's music everywhere.
Some of it's free.
Mm-hmm. True.
But not all of it. And that's where these passes come in.
Absolutely. These passes get you access to the main stage, to the pre-event on Thursday night, to the post-event on Sunday, and also all the late-night events, as you said, George's and Kingfish and everywhere.
So, in other words, if you are our winner for this, you can go to anything you want.
Absolutely.
You and a friend.
You and a friend.
That's right. Okay. It's going to be really fun.
I enjoy it.
Yeah. Weekend, yeah.
Very excited.
Okay, so within the computer, we push the magic button, and we need a drum roll.
We do. Something.
We're going to hire a drummer.
There you go.
Well, I think we know enough drummers that somebody would help us out.
We're public radio. We're not going to hire a drummer. We're going to ask a drummer to come in.
Absolutely. Well, congratulations to Nina Prater from Cedarville, Arkansas. She is our winner.
All right.
Congratulations.
Yes, you are going to have a wonderful time.
Now, Nina, Cedarville and Fayetteville are not, you know, just next door to each other. Mm-hmm. So maybe she'll want to, you know, make arrangements to... Because I think it's worth sticking around and taking full advantage.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And we had a ton of entries. We had close to 400.
Wow.
Yeah, so great response. So coming up on the drawing, we have tickets to Theater Square. There's season subscription. Also, season tickets to the Fort Smith Symphony are up and coming. We'll be up probably next week.
Okay.
And then we also have tickets for Harvest Fest that is just
around the corner.
I know.
And if you didn't win and you haven't yet, go to FayettevilleRoots.org.
To see if there are tickets left.
Yeah, see if any
Absolutely.
Tickets. Thank you, Rhonda.
Thank you, guys.
All right.
KUAF is supported by Arcom Printing, located on the hillside just east of the Township and College intersection in Fayetteville. Arcom Printing provides printing, copying, and digital output services. ArcomPrinting.com or 444-7711. The Fort Smith Symphony celebrates its 90th year in Arkansas during its 2013-2014 season. Season tickets are now available. Works include Rachmaninoff's Second Symphony, Wagner's Ring, the Canadian Brass, and the Living Christmas Card. Tickets and more information are available at 452-7575 or fortsmithsymphony.org.
This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Rogers, Kansas, Oklahoma.
Just over the border, right?
Just over the border. All right. I remember when I first moved to Northwest Arkansas, I met someone from Kansas, Oklahoma. It took me several minutes to figure out where she was from. Are you from Kansas or are you from Oklahoma?
Awesome. I'm sure that was a fantastic conversation. Something
one of the best, yes.
First and third.
Adam Costello,
yeah,
exactly, yes.
I'm sure. Oh, man. Oh, it's the weekend.
Almost. Not quite.
Close
and it's
going to
be a rare, what's that?
Close enough for me.
Yes. A rare, cool August weekend. We don't see the likes of these very often.
We don't. It's been a very strange year for weather.
It really has. I mean, it was kind of a mild winter until May.
Mm-hmm. When we got the snow
right.
That first weekend. That was
ridiculous. And now it's been a relatively mild summer, very wet. Now it's cool.
It's whatever.
Let's see what October brings.
Oh, good Lord.
Roll up your sleeves.
I don't even know. Just a reminder, this weekend, Tales from the South will feature Catherine Sherrills of Fayetteville.
3:30 on KUAF Saturday afternoon.
Saturday afternoons, if you want to tune in for that. Lots of things coming up in the future to look forward to. Roots Festival coming up next week. And
A live Tales from the South. A week from Sunday.
Mm-hmm. So we'll keep you up to date on how you can be involved in all of that. And
that's right.
How you can stay entertained.
You can.
Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
I'm Kyle Kellums.
Thanks so much for listening. Have a fantastic weekend.